Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Mr. Jacob Halevy.
Mr. Chairman, members of the governing board, Professor Sir Alexander Oppenheim, parents, ladies and gentlemen, and last but not least, boys. This is a day when prizes are given, but that should not be the most important thing. On this day, Mr. Chairman, we briefly survey our activities during the year. One can mention the fact that we are a small school, but our sixth formers constitute quite a large proportion of the school. While numbers, we have a very large sixth form. And it is gratifying, in view of the difficulties to go to higher educational institutions, that between 8 and 10 already are short places in the higher educational institution. One is going to Oxford, another to Cambridge. One of our old boys who is here and comes from Oxford down to help us on a speech day has just won a scholarship to the Middle Temple. We have what we think candidates to these ancient universities during the next year or two. And on the whole, the proportion of the boys who go to the universities from our school is quite great, if to take our limited numbers into consideration. We are interested, as you heard from the chairman, to combine, to synthesize Hebraic and British cultures. He was right when he referred to Lord Balfour. Now, I refer to these particularly because when he said about the best citizen, because of an article in the Daily Mail on Friday, which gave me a very deep sense of nausea. Some of you might have read it. The activities of the school in sport, we had a sports day, and whilst no great records have been broken, the standard was quite satisfactory. I must say that there is a spirit of the esprit de corps among the boys which manifested itself very clearly during the festival day. Our festival shows and indicates the readiness of the boys to work and do for their houses and jointly for the whole house, for the whole school. Interesting such things as project on, say, hand cross. Quite a serious bit of research has been done. On jewelry in Brighton, where not a superficial approach, but almost with some knowledge of demography, or at least attempting to be demographers and ethnologists, they did and dug into the archives wherever they could get in order to write an essay, quite a satisfactory essay, on Jewish history in Brighton. The reason why Brighton was chosen, because originally the school was in Brighton and it's the nearest large Jewish community to us. Generally speaking, there is a keenness among the senior boys to work, they take their work quite seriously. When we moved to Brighton here, to the country, in a beautiful park, as you'll see, there was some misgiving that the senior boys might miss the amenities of the gay life of Brighton. But I think that some of those senior boys had sufficient courage to admit that they prefer the certain isolation in order to have the minimum possible disturbing factors from outside. Life being what it is, there are disturbing factors. And the governor, the chairman of the governors, our chairman here, told you that because of the events in Israel, he was not prepared to go into details of the plans. The events of Israel today permeate all the Jewish life, and it's impossible to speak. One would refer to Israel anyhow at the speech day of Whittingham College. Whittingham is the ancestral seat of Lord Balfour, an Earl Balfour of Whittingham, and hence the name, because he was a person who gave the, through the decision of the cabinet in Lloyd George administration in 1917 on the 2nd of November, issued the famous declaration which bears his name, the Balfour Declaration, which is actually the basis, ultimately, for the establishment of the State of Israel. But today, there can be no Jew in the world who doesn't feel sympathy and affinity, and strong affinity, with Israel in its tribulation and its struggle. And therefore, it was very unpleasant indeed to read an article by Bernard Levine in the Daily Mail on Friday, in which he criticized the chief rabbi, the new chief rabbi, Rabbi Jacobovitch, who said that every Jew must consider himself on their duty and obligation to go and help Israel, whether financially or, if we can, to go and volunteer. Mr. Bernard Levine criticized that statement and tried to show that he feels no allegiance. He admits that he's a Jew, but he feels no such allegiance, because such allegiance might be, he didn't say so, but that was the contents of his article, might be misconstrued by non-Jews that he has dual loyalty. There are non-Jews in this audience. I'm sure that they will not understand me. I'm sure that they will criticize me. I'm sure that they will consider beneath the dignity of any person who claims some dignity that I'm not fully involved in Israel. It is a surprise to them, to any non-Jew, if a Jew does not feel strong attachment and affinity to Israel. It's all very well to say that, like any other nations, the Jewish people is different from all other nations. If I were asked to say, on, like Hillel was asked to say on one, as the heathen stood on one leg, when he asked to be taught all the Torah, as he stands on one leg, Hillel told him, yes, I'll tell you, you can study all the Torah. Don't do unto others what you wouldn't like to be done unto you. This is all the Torah, the rest is mere commentary. Go and study. If I were asked, tell me in few words, I should say in one word, what is the characteristic of our people? It is uniqueness. Our history has no parallel in the whole world of all peoples. We have been driven from pillar to post. We have been persecuted. Is it necessary to remind Bernard Levine of the extermination of a third of the Jewish people? But he said, I have only one allegiance to this country. So have we. I lost my son in the war for this country, and I will go and give my life for this country without any hesitation. But who speaks about mono loyalty? There is no person in the world who has got one loyalty. You've got loyalty to the country, loyalty to your family, loyalty to your friends, loyalty to your associates. It's a variety of loyalties. Of course, you give precedence to certain loyalties, and there are priorities in these loyalties, obviously. But to say that a Jew has not got a must in him in this critical time of Israel, to be ready to help in every way. He is a cringing, obsequious Jew. And cringing type of a person is not a nice person. And a person who is not nice will not make a nice citizen. That's what Lord Balfour meant. I repeat, I will yield to no one in my loyalty to this country. And it's not a figure of speech. It will be translated, and was translated when the war broke out. I was the first day at the recruiting office, and I wasn't very young. I was at the recruiting office. I was told headmasters shouldn't be called up. Then I joined the Home Guard and any other things. I was in the anti-gas training in 1936. I already joined, when people didn't speak about, or didn't think so, that there is a real danger for war. Yet I have never hidden my love, my affection to the Jewish people. My hope that the Jewish people will find once again its an ancient homeland, the place where it could express itself and give contribution not only to remnant of Jewry who suffered so much during the world, but give expression to, as each nation has its own national genius, national ego, to contribute with that to other, to the sum total of civilization. And we can say quite humbly that Israel in its short time has already contributed. It already helped underdeveloped countries, although it's itself underdeveloped. But it, because it has people with more technical knowledge than the new resurgent African nations, it was ready to give their help and gave without any strings attached to it. And they were received and acknowledged, these aids, with gratitude. Only a few weeks ago, representatives of African nations were in Israel expressing their great gratitude to Israel. Poor Israel can still do, because it considered itself that its mission in Israel is not only to wave a flag, it's not only to have an army which it would have disbanded any moment, at any time. It has excellent soldiers, it has excellent naval people and excellent air force. But Israel does not want to play with armies. It wants to play with peace and with contribution to peace in the world. But when it's threatened, when every day the enemy proclaims that its main aim is to annihilate and wipe out completely Israel, Israel is not going anymore to be led to the slaughter, as to the crematoria, without giving a fight. We hope there will not be a fight, but it may be. Because appeasement, has learnt us, brings the appetite, develops the appetite more and more, and the great war could have been avoided, as Lord Avon rightly said in the House of Lords when he resigned from Chamberlain's administration as a foreign secretary, because there was the appeasement over Czechoslovakia. Who is Czechoslovakia? Asked Chamberlain in the House. And that was repugnant to Anthony Eden as he was then, and he tendered his resignation, and he reminded the House that he's not speaking about Suez 10 years ago. His mind is thrown back to the appeasement for which the world paid so heavily, and may pay again if there will be the appeasement. And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry that I have to speak about it, because I would have preferred that on our speech day there would have been no cause to say so. But we can't avoid it. And you Jews, those who are Jewish here, and I must say that many non-Jews realize the position of Israel and the Jewish people. I must say that the response of Anglo-Jewry is excellent. And I'm glad that one of the governors who will speak to you, he's off to Israel. One of our governors' son just vanished yesterday into Israel, and he's a father of two children, because he felt the sense of duty to go. I'm sorry for the need, but I'm proud of them. He was, of course, I have to do it myself. I have to go myself, too. I'm not young. But if I have any service, I can still do something in Israel to replace the fighting forces. So, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Chairman, sir, this is maybe also an additional raison d'etre for the existence of a Jewish school, which develops loyalty to the countries where they live, but that at the same time develops in them the sense of the great historical past of the Jewish people. We have a history behind us of 4,000 years and 2,000 years in exile, in dispersion. The Jewish people is unique, I said, because it has no parallel in history. We were driven from our homeland by king and pope, but we carried Israel with us wherever we went. We prayed about Israel. We expressed our hope about Israel. Our festivals were associated with the flora and fauna of Israel. We, Mr. Chairman, wish, together with you, to the people of Israel, good luck, and we standing behind you. And with this I conclude, Mr. Chairman. I've asked, I think a year ago, addressing the very small boys talking about Israel, not thinking about a war, but telling them, should Israel be in difficulty, who of you will go? All hands, little kids of 6 and 7. We shall go and fight for Israel. We don't want them. We don't want to fight. But we want them to have a feeling of strong, profound affinity.